Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
This is Wretched Radio at Minute. You're multitasking electronically. You're listening to this, but you're looking at that. What do you see? If it's wretched, we'd like to see it too. And you can send it to us so we can. idea@wretched.org. If you prefer to express yourself, whether you do it in the voice of Madonna or not, express yourself by calling 877-282-2337.
All right, and this is Derek. Todd, I generally find myself aligned with your thoughts on Christian television and movie productions depicting biblical portrayals such as The Chosen or The House of David.
Great, thanks. That's a good email. That's really good. Thank you very much for that, Derek. I appreciate your affirmation. Let's go on.
You don't want the however?
Well, we'll see.
However, your recent evaluation of The King of Kings left me wondering, just how dogmatic are you? I use dogmatic in jest, but what exactly is the standard we should look for?
Me! Use my standards. We'll all get along just fine. There have been a plethora of Christian offerings as of late, and these are of the category of Bible stories or Bible recreations. I think it's important to start out with understanding there can be a Christian film. Fireproof comes to mind. All right, that's not putting the words into the mouth of a Bible character, especially the Savior. It's a Christian story, and we would judge that theologically, biblically. You can get into the aesthetics, the production quality, all of that, but I think that's a category that is safe as long as there's nothing innately sinful baked into it. It's the category of Bible recreations that I think are fraught with problems. Now, inside of the category of Bible recreations, you're going to love this if you're a Puritan, there are two subcategories. I think the first subcategory are those that are word for word. They're the ones that, like, I think of the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John. These came out years ago, probably 20 years ago. It is word for word. And I think that those are different than those that make up words and insert them into the mouth of Jesus Christ or any other Bible character. Why? Because those present themselves as scripture, but they're not. Now, having said that, I do think even the Bible recreation stories that are word for word, I would not disqualify them for your viewing edification, but I think you need to use a level of discernment. Now, I grant you, you might say, I'm about to be inconsistent. I'm not being flip about this. In my mind, I'm not. that's where everything resides. In your mind, it resides in my mind. So just saying that doesn't get you off the hook of potentially contradicting myself. But it really does work for me. Here's why I make a distinction. The subcategory of adding words to the mouth of Jesus or anybody else, that to me is just verboten. Why? Because the Bible makes it clear everything we have in Scripture is sufficient and we shouldn't be adding words. Furthermore, it's nothing but mere mortal machinations. It's making up what we think maybe was said for the sake of storytelling. In other words, I think it's adding to Scripture, it causes confusion. Therefore, that level of discernment, I think, is of a higher level than the levels of discernment you need for watching a word-for-word category Bible story. Why do you need to practice any discernment at all with a Bible story? And why am I willing to let those stories off the hook versus putting words into the mouth of the Savior Bible stories? Well, because I think that there are certain elements that do get added even to word-for-word creations. There's tone. There is emphasis in speech. How the sentence is even presented. In other words, there is some interpretation even when the individual is speaking the Bible word for word. Now, why would I say we can work past that? Why would I say that's okay, but putting words in the mouth of Jesus isn't okay because of the public reading of Scripture? That's why. Paul commanded Timothy, you need to be reading the Bible publicly. And anytime you read the Bible publicly, you are going to speak it in a way that brings some sort of interpretation to the reading of the word. And if it's okay for that to happen, we need to be discerning about it. Because, for instance, if somebody got up to read John 3:16 and they said, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, you'd go, whoa, what are you doing? That's probably not the way that it was spoken. Now, was it spoken, for God so loved the world? I hope not. But how was it? But we bring that, and the Bible gives us the permission to allow that. Therefore, when I think a movie makes a word-for-word presentation of, in this instance, Matthew and John, we just need to be mindful of it, but it doesn't disqualify the movie. I think there's just other elements that don't reach that same level of discernment as the category of putting words into the mouth of the Savior movies. Sound effects, music gets put inside of them. All right, let's just do a little test here. I've been multitasking. I actually pulled up the Gospel of Matthew. We've heard this clip before. This is Matthew 23. Now, word for word, question. Is this how Jesus said these words?
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples,
the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.
Now, I could say that 70 different ways. The teachers of the law and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. No, that's my interpretation versus this actor's interpretation. Again, we need to be discerning because it does bring a shading to the reading, but we know that is also true when it comes to the public reading of Scripture.
So you must obey them and do everything they tell you.
But do not do what they do. That's right. Okay. Okay, so you've got interpretation in that. Here's the Gospel of John. I can't remember this actor's name. I've spoken to him before. We emailed for a bit. He's a professing believer. I can't remember. Could you maybe find it, Jimmy? Veteran British filmmaker. Phillips directs the Gospel of John and with a guy who played Jesus. Okay, so here's a scene. Listen for sound effects, music, and how the words are presented.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
Tell me who he is, sir, so that I can believe in him.
You have already seen him. And he is the one who is talking with you now.
I believe, Lord.
And he knelt down before Jesus.
Really sweet scene, by the way. Now he's going to turn his attention to the Pharisees. And you're going to hear a lot of interpretation.
I came to this world to judge, so that the blind should see, and those who see should become blind.
Some Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked him,
surely you don't mean that we are blind too?
If you were blind, then you would not be guilty. But since you claim that you can see, this means that you are still guilty.
Is that how he said it?
I'm telling you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who goes in through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep.
By the way, you've got another issue with these films. Is this what Jesus looked like? Do I get that image baked into my brain? Does that confuse me in any way? I think these are levels of discernment that need to be applied to virtually every sort of Christian art, especially of the genre of Bible recreation stories. I have a confession to make. I know that perhaps my levels of discernment on this subject could be tainted because when it comes to the stuff where we put words in the mouth of Jesus, I can't watch it for a second. It's like, no, no, no. Who do we think we are speaking for God? But when it comes to these presentations of just speaking it word for word, I do confess, I like this.
The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice.
By the way, they're showing sheep being led out of a pen simultaneously with a lot of baaing in the background. Was there a lot of baaing in the background? Okay. Well, I don't know, but that I can screen that out without it compromising what Jesus taught or adding words to what Jesus taught. So, Derek, those would be my rules. Disagree? 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Giffert, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, and love. Foster, love. This is Wretched Radio. If you want to put the kibosh on divisions in your churches, love. That is the cure. When we genuinely love one another, we will overlook a multitude of sins. We will not put the worst construction on everything. We will overlook a number of things. If you don't love somebody, you just shade it. If they're just not your favorite person, the way that they said that kind of gets up my nose. But if you love that person, it's like, oh, I think that was fine. No, that didn't bother me. Why? Because love overlooks all of those things. We know that there are times to divide over essentials and just some practical practices, but the carping and the dividing and the fighting and the fissions that are not necessary because they aren't essential, we've got to work hard to get rid of them. And the best way that you can do that and put fertilizer on faction busting is to promote love. How do you do that? I think it has to come from the pulpit. I think it has to come also from what is being taught and how things are being taught in Sunday school. Right now at Alpharetta Bible Church, we're getting really close to starting a biblical counseling center. Super excited about this. It's going to be, well, what it said, a biblical counseling center under the auspices of the church. Was talking to the gang at Low Country Biblical Counseling there in South Carolina. And Tim said something that I knew about preaching and teaching, but it caught my attention when he talked about the need to make sure that the counselors of a counseling center all have the same goal. In other words, that they've all determined in advance when we bring somebody in to counsel them, we have an aim. And if you don't define that mark, you're going to miss it. So what would be the aim of biblical counseling? Well, we're kind of wrestling through it. And I think that there can be multiple aims because you could argue for different ways of phrasing some of these elements. But what do we want in biblical counseling? We want people to love the Lord more. We want people to grow in godliness. We want people to glorify the Lord. We want people to be relishing the guidance that the Bible gives us so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. All right, if you forget that, what are you going to do? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, look at this verse. You got to apply, put off, put on. You got to start doing this and stop doing that. Take a look at this Bible verse. Your theology is a little bit wonky. You'll do biblical counseling, but without an objective, it typically is going to fall short. And I think the same thing is true with preaching and teaching. I believe preaching and teaching should foster our love for God. That's what it should do. Now, we do that through theological, didactic teaching. That's true. You gotta have that, by the way, because if you don't have facts, then your emotions are going to be wonky. So truth needs to precede our emotions. So we don't get away from teaching, but if the aim of the teaching, the goal of the teaching is not to grow us all in love, then we're going to miss the mark. So that is why if your church is experiencing a lot of divisions, that could be the chief reason that love is not being fostered. I would add, I can think of a second reason, and that is you don't have a shared hermeneutic. You're not interpreting the Bible the same way. And so that could be causing division. Either way, get on the same page regarding hermeneutics and start fostering love. It will help erase the divisions and keeping the factions from happening. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Matthew. Todd, do you consider a small group, prayer group, or Bible study together to be the local church? Or would you consider a local church one that has a pastor and or elders?
Yeah, a church has to have elders. Has to. Now, can you do it in a home setting? Sure, I think you can do that. You want to make sure that the elders are qualified. I've always said it just doesn't take long in a home church for it to become a church. It's a practical outworking of a healthy organism. You start to have more people coming. Like, we can't fit in our house. You got a bigger house. Hey, what about that family? We could do it in your garage. You got that barn out back. We could do it there. And the next thing you know, you're looking for space. And you're looking to lease at the Holiday Inn or at the high school. So I think that inevitably those things will actually end up there if they are growing. But you need to have what the Bible says makes up a church. So you've got to have elders. I think that you've got to have Bible teaching. You need to have regulated worship that's taking place. You need to have the Lord's table and baptisms. You need to be able to practice church discipline. Those are the elements that make up a church. So can you do it in a home setting? Yeah. Now, a small group, I think, is simply an outworking of a local church, but it's not a local church in and of itself, unless, of course, it has those aforementioned elements. Without it, it's a small group. Jimmy, are you in a small group?
Am I in a small group? Yeah. Yes, I do. I teach a small group.
Do you real? Now, see, this is precisely why we shouldn't gamble. I would have lost that bet.
I didn't even know you're Christian, Jimmy.
No, I. What? Is that the mark of being saved? Is you're in a small group?
No.
I just didn't pick you for a small group kind of guy.
Yeah.
How many people get together?
Oh, man, it's different from week to week. But and when I say small group, it's a group of men. I teach a group of men on Saturday mornings. But I guess it is a smaller group. Yeah.
Who are these men?
These are the men of my church.
And what are we teaching these men at your church?
How to be a man. No.
You know that you just set that right up on a tee for me.
Yeah, no.
And I just didn't take a swing because I could have.
So right now.
And you're teaching them?
I am.
Sorry, I couldn't. I tried.
So we've been, the main goal and purpose is, you know, teaching them, discipling them to be leaders and to begin discipling others. But man, we've spent the last year and a half in spiritual growth.
Hey, what is the name of Charlie's podcast?
White Harvest.
Okay, so where you Spotify, whatever, go find the White Harvest podcast. Charlie Parrish, Jimmy's pastor who hosts it. His guest was Jimmy. And dude, the link you sent me, again, I still can't fast forward on it. I got 16 minutes into your story. He's interviewing Jimmy and it's really good. And your testimony and your conversion story. And I'm like, I'm in. But I had to stop. And then whatever the thing that I was using, just I had to go back to the beginning. Well, so use the Spotify or the Google or the Apple.
Yeah, you know most of it anyway.
But I was enjoying it. I love testimonies. They just remind you, oh, God is at work. The world isn't revolving around me. He's working in the lives of other people. It's really good. Jimmy, we had a small group sort of on Wednesday night.
Okay.
Oh, it was so fun. We went bowling. That's right. We went bowling. You know, that church activity that's in the Bible someplace. That bowling was, the young adults came, had such a good time. And okay, just because I wouldn't put my feet into shoes that have been worn by 800 other people. So guess what I got to do? I got to be with Sadie. A couple brought their baby and they were bowling and it's like, I'll take that. Oh, did I have fun? Dude, I just got to dote on her for like an hour, whatever it was. Just absolutely delightful time. It was such a good time. It was just getting together. Now, all it did was just strengthen us and our bond. It wasn't, though, biblically speaking, fellowship, unless, of course, we were there talking about Jesus. We were just there having a good time together, and that can strengthen your bond. Why? Because it grows us in love for one another. And that helps to avoid factions. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I was recently asked my opinion of an individual and made it known that I have a less than favorable view of them because I overheard them talking negatively about me on more than one occasion.
And there's a lot going on there. Okay, I'm tracking, I think.
I feel as though I've engaged in gossip. I've prayed on this and repented and would like some advice on how I may rectify this because I'm at a bit of a loss on how to move forward.
Well, clean up your mess. If that's what you've done, then who heard it? If you just gossip to one person, well, then you've got to go to that person and repent of that. But when you do go to that person, did you share this with anybody else? Because you're responsible for that too. This is the old feather pillow story. This beaten sermon illustration about gossip. The woman was gossiping. Somebody was gossiping, causing all kinds of problems in the church, which gossip does. Oh, man, is it corrosive. Very few things can wreck a church quite like gossip. And so the pastor's trying to, you know, who's been doing this, finds out it's Glenda, brings Glenda in to explain to her why she needs to stop gossiping. And she doesn't receive his counsel well, which makes her a proverbial fool. So he grabs a bed pillow. Don't ask me where he got it. It's a sermon illustration. He goes up on top of the building with Glenda into the thing, you know, the tower that they happen to have at their church. And he cuts open the pillowcase and he just sprays the feathers out into the air and they go flying. And he said, "Would you go pick those up for me, Glenda?" "I can't pick those up." Exactly. And that is the problem with gossip. You spread it, you can't pick it up. So do your best to clean up your mess and let it serve as a lesson. Gossip in the church has got to go. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.